Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21. This is Matthew's account of what we commonly refer to as the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on that Sunday a week prior to Easter Sunday. And as we look at it, we see that the synoptic gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us a clear picture of the events that preceded Jesus riding on the colt on that Palm Sunday. We find that our Lord Jesus Christ had left Bethany to go to Jerusalem. He had been in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, whom he loved so dearly. And it had not been long since he had raised Lazarus from the dead. We read about that in John chapter 11. So it is that we see that in this account, that when Jesus drew nigh to Jerusalem, that he passed through Jericho. This is the place where he gave sight to the blind man Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 11. And also the sight where days before that he said that he would dwell in the house of the publican Zacchaeus, who was converted from his greedy ways, that tax collector. And he came to the mountain pass from Jericho to Jerusalem in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So now on this Sunday morning, he is on the Jericho road headed toward Jerusalem. And they come to the Mount of Olives, about a mile east of Jerusalem. You might call the Mount of Olives the city park of Jerusalem. And so we see now in Matthew 21, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. Wonderful things occurred there, the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, that is Bethphage, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say that the Lord has need of them. And straightway he will send them. But all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and this is in particular Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and they did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set him, Jesus, thereupon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful to be in your house this good Lord's day. We're so thankful to know in our heart that Jesus is more than just a prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, that he's God, that he's the Son of God, manifest in the flesh, to take away our sin. As John the Baptist would say of him in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So, Father, this day, as we begin this week of Holy Week, Lord, help us to search our heart, as Psalm 139:24 tells us to, and see, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, and lead each of us in the way everlasting. We pray, Lord, that we would truly repent and turn away from our sins, of omission and commission as well, that we might turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full well in His wonderful face, so that the things of earth might grow strangely dim in the glory of His wonderful grace. Be with us now, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so, we see here that He is recognized as the Son of David. And our title today is, Thy King Cometh. That's our title. Thy King, King Cometh. As the lineage of David, who was the great king of Israel, He came through David. And He is the King. The Gospel of Matthew emphasizes the kingship of our Savior many times. And it was presented that way to the Jewish nation of Jesus' day. Now, as you go back in chapter 20 of Matthew, you find that Jesus had repeatedly in His earthly ministry told His disciples of those things that were going to come upon Him in Jerusalem. He said back in chapter 20, in verse 17, "And Jesus, as He was going up to Jerusalem," this is a day or two prior, "took His 12 disciples apart in the way." And here's what He said to those 12 disciples, those apostles. Matthew 20:18, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him. But and the third day He shall rise again." He says that the Son of Man would be betrayed. See, God was not betrayed, but Jesus as a man in the flesh would be betrayed with a kiss by one of His own disciples, Judas Iscariot. To the chief priest and to the scribes and to the Jewish Sanhedrin. And they would deliver Him to the Roman authorities, that is the Gentiles, and they would condemn Him to death as a righteous man. For Pilate said, "I find nothing amiss in this good man." Pilate's wife also didn't find anything amiss in Christ. He was found innocent. But yet, we're going to see now in this lesson that as He went into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, the multitudes did indeed cry to Him, "Hosanna," as we read in verse 9, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, as they came, He says to them, to His disciples, that they were to go into the village of Bethphage, in verse 2 of our lesson today, and that they would find an ass tied and a colt with her. And He told them what to do. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord hath need of them, and immediately or straightway he will send them to me. It was probable that the owner of the donkey and the colt was a disciple of Jesus himself. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled that it was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9. Now, when you read this account in Zechariah 9 and 9, there's something here that's not repeated in the New Testament account. So let me read it from Zechariah's prophecy. Chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Now, this next part was not repeated by Christ in the New Testament. It says, he is just and having salvation. And then it says, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He is just and having salvation. Now when Jesus rode in humility on the back of the young colt, upon which never man had ridden before, he had the ability, as God in the flesh, to tame the young colt who had never been ridden before. It says that he is just, he's coming, he is just and having salvation. That speaks of the justice of God. Now, God the Father is just, and he cannot look upon sin. And sin has to be dealt with by the justice of God. And it was dealt with on the cross, when God the Father placed our sin on him. God's justice was satisfied when our sins were placed on him. He is just. Now, that also means that Jesus himself is just, that he's righteous, that he's sinless, holy, harmless, undefiled, the spotless Lamb of God. There was no blemish in Jesus Christ. Just like the lambs of the sacrifices, they had to be examined before they were offered to see if they had any blemish. And there was no fault found in Jesus Christ. So he was righteous, wholly harmless, and undefiled, and having salvation. He is salvation. He is the one who delivers us from our sin. And then it says, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, his justice was meted out. Look in verse 10 of Zechariah chapter 9. It says, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, that's Israel, and the horse from Jerusalem. Now this speaks of judgment. And the battle bow shall be cut off. There's going to be a cessation of war here. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen. That refers to you and me, the Gentiles. So actually what he's saying now is that what Jesus did on the cross has made peace between us and God. So that's what he's saying in verse 10, that he will cut off the chariot and the horse and the battle bow so that they learn war no more, as Isaiah chapter 2 says. And he will speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion, the dominion of Jesus Christ our Lord, of his kingdom, shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. That speaks of the dominion of the kingdom of Christ. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. By the blood of the covenant, the blood of the covenant, which is the blood of the Lamb, we have been delivered from the pit wherein was no water. It's a dry and thirsty land in this sin-cursed world in which we live. But we have great hope in Jesus Christ. Look in verse 12 of Zechariah chapter 9. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. We have hope in Jesus because God raised Him from the dead. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. He rendered double. Now that refers again to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. The double, look at the doubling that is talked about in Isaiah 41. When he speaks comfort to us, comfort you, my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. The battle has been won, that her iniquity is pardoned. It's been pardoned in the blood of Jesus. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. I've heard it said that had to do with the blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. So he is just and having salvation. Now, as the disciples went, they did as Jesus commanded them. How important it is that we do and obey what the Lord Jesus commands us to do. So very important. Now, when you think about that, I want to think about the fact that Jesus had very little in this world as far as worldly goods are concerned. This fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy describes Jesus riding on one of the most humble animals to be found in God's Word. It's worthy of noting that the animal was borrowed and that he had no saddle on which to ride, and he had borrowed garments put on the animal, that it was a colt on which no man had ever ridden before, and that those animals, the donkey, were regarded as fit for sacred use who had not been ridden before. And so it was that Israel knew that prophecy well, but they missed the mark when it came to the truth of what that prophecy taught. They believed that the fulfillment of that prophecy in their generation would be that their coming Messiah would deliver them from the Roman government, their oppressors of that time period. I would just imagine that those in previous ages probably also believed that their Messiah would deliver them from the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks. But he didn't come to deliver from earthly rulers. He came to deliver us from our sin. From our sin. His is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then would my disciples fight. But it's not." And so it was that as they came into Jerusalem, listen to what happened. Beginning in verse 8 of our text, "And a very great multitude." Now, they were there gathered for the Passover. The Passover commemorated Israel's delivery from Egyptian bondage. When God told them in Exodus chapter 12 to put blood on the doorpost of their homes, and when he passed through, they would be protected from death. They would not die. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Read about that in Exodus chapter 12. This is going to be the Passover of all Passovers, because Jesus was the fulfillment of all of those Paschal lambs. Thousands were gathered. Some say even millions. And among those gathered were thousands of Galileans who had heard of Jesus, who had seen the miracles he performed, and also many of them indeed believed in Jesus as their Messiah King. And what did they do? They spread their garments in the way and they cut down branches from the trees. And John says in John 12 that it was palm branches that would provide a soft path for Jesus to come into Jerusalem. It was a sign of honor and respect. A sign of honor and respect. And as the multitudes went before him and followed after Jesus, they cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," recognizing Jesus as the offspring of the King David, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord Jehovah. Hosanna in the highest." Now, that word Hosanna means, "Save now, I beseech thee." Save us, Lord. It is a part of the text found in the book of Psalms, chapter number 118, verses 25 and 26, which was a hymn that Israel would sing. It was a hallelujah chant that they would sing at the end of the Passover supper. When they took what we call today the Lord's Supper, when they finished the Passover supper, they would sing these words. If you will, you can look at them in Psalms 118, 25 and 26. Notice this with us. Psalms 118, and this speaks prophetically of our Savior. Now, you have to remember, he is prophesied that he would be rejected by his own. Remember in the Gospel of John, it said that Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. Psalms 118, if you will, look if you will, beginning in verse 21. It says, "I will praise thee, For thou hast heard me, heard my prayer, and thou art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused or rejected is become the headstone of the corner. Jesus was rejected of his own, but he was the cornerstone that holds up the whole building of his body of Christ, his people. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we often quote that verse, and there's praise hymns that have been set to music for that verse. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then 25, save now, I beseech thee. That is the translation of the word Hosanna. It means, save now, I beg thee. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. For we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And indeed they did. Certainly they did. Now, all the city of Jerusalem was moved when Jesus entered the city. The procession burst into full view of Jerusalem as it appeared on the Mount of Olives, which was about 200 feet higher than the temple. And so there, as the city appeared in all of its splendor, according to Luke's account in Luke chapter 19, it says that Jesus stopped there and he wept over the coming sorrows that would come to the city of Jerusalem. He knew what was coming. In Luke 19:41, he knew what was coming, not only for himself, but also for Jerusalem. And this is as he enters Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, beginning in verses 41 through 44 of Luke chapter 19. This is Luke's account. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace. If you had known, that is, if you had recognized the truth of why I came, those things that belong to your peace, the shedding of my blood that brought peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. They were blinded. They were blinded that they couldn't see the truth. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground. Judgment would be coming for Jerusalem because of their unbelief, and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. He wept over Jerusalem as he entered that city because he knew their eyes were blinded, that they couldn't see him for who he is. But yet, the Scriptures also teach, on the other hand, that had they known Him, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So how do we reconcile those truths? It was necessary that He be delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified for our sins. But yet they are still responsible for their sin of doing so. And yet it fulfilled the plan of God. Now, God is not the author of sin, nor did He cause any of those to sin. His ways are higher than our ways. And so it was that they cried, and that the multitudes, and many of them children, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Back in Matthew chapter 20, He's also called the Son of David by the two blind men that were on the Jericho road as they came to Jerusalem. One of those blind men was Bartimaeus. But as they looked at Jesus, as in beholding Him, as Jesus passed by on the road to Jerusalem, they said to Him, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Thou Son of David." See, they recognized Jesus for who He is. The Lord, God, the Son of David, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus stopped and asked them, "What will you that I do to you?" And they say to Him, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." Their natural eyesight was gone, and they desired the Lord to open their natural eyes. But the Lord had already opened their spiritual eyes. So in Matthew 20 and 34 it says, "So Jesus, He had compassion on them." Often in His ministry you see that word, Jesus having compassion. And He touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed Him. I'm sure they went on their way with Him to Jerusalem that day. But the spiritual eyesight of the multitudes, for the most part, they were blinded, that they did not see Jesus as the true Messiah. Or even if some did, they didn't see the truth that His kingdom was not of this world. Hindsight would help them in that later on. But it was necessary that these things be done in this matter, not only to fulfill Zechariah's prophecy, but it also to fulfill the plan of God in salvation. And when He was come to Jerusalem, in verse 10, says that all the city was moved. The whole entire city was moved. And they were asking, "Who is this? Who is this man? What is going on?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Now, there was a certain truth in that response, but yet, it's still not acknowledging Him as God. What they're doing here is acknowledging Him as the prophet that Moses prophesied of in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. I've often referred to that passage in Deuteronomy 18, where He's prophesied of that God is going to send that prophet in whom you will trust and obey. Who is this man? Certainly He was a great prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. But yet, He is so much more than that. He is God. He is our Savior. He's our Lord and Master. He is my personal Lord and Master and Savior. Who is He? Who is this man? If you look back in Matthew chapter 16, this is our application today. Notice it with me. In Matthew 16, who is this man? Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13, Jesus begins to probe those disciples concerning who he is. Who is this man? Matthew 16, 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, his own disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Certainly he was a man, but what is the popular opinion? The popular opinion. See, the multitude said, he's a prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. What is the popular opinion? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and others say that you are Elias, or the prophet Elijah come back. Others say that you're Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. But then Jesus made the question personal when he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? How do we see Jesus today? Who is this man? How do we see him? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are our Messiah. You are my Messiah. And then Jesus responded by telling Peter and the others that it was not flesh and blood that had revealed that to them, but our Father who is in heaven. Their spiritual eyes were open, you see, to know the truth of who he is. For he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but rather my Father in heaven is the one who has allowed you to know who I am. And I say to thee, to you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of the revelation of who Jesus is, that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is our application today, dear child of God. As he entered into Jerusalem, ask ourselves, who is this? Ask yourself, who is Jesus to me? God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.